Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me back there? All good? You know, when we at PayPal started thinking about building a stablecoin that was going to form the basis of a new way to pay, it was obvious to us that it was going to launch as an ERC-20. Because after all, the programmability, the ubiquity, the strength of the developer community, and the breadth and the commitment to continual innovation and evolution of the core made it an obvious choice for us to launch for a token that we knew was going to become a global mass market adopted activity. We had this hypothesis that by combining the structural advantages of an open source, distributed, decentralized network with the kinds of innovations that can run on top of a foundation of fast, secure, low-cost, transparent transactions would be a game-changer for financial services and how we move money around the world. Because most of the time, that money moves today using technologies and systems like ACH networks, correspondent banking, and wire transfer systems that are literally over 150 years old. And when we actually launched in August of 2023 with PYUSD, we were pleased and actually somewhat relieved to find out that that hypothesis was correct. The ink was barely dry on the virtual sort of press release that we did before we started hearing from regulators, from crypto enthusiasts, from press, from media, and from normal customers and merchants that we were onto something. And that was especially interesting because these are not audiences that typically tend to agree, especially when it comes to things like crypto. What we found at the time was that the promise of what we were trying to offer through that was actually quite interesting, and the community started to follow shortly thereafter. And that was particularly noteworthy for us because actually the road to launching PYUSD for us was a little bit rocky, at least in the last mile. Because you see, PYUSD as a token is regulated and greenlisted by the New York Department of Financial Services. The reserves that we have are held bankruptcy remote in a limited purpose trust in the name of token holders. And both PayPal and Paxos, our issuing partner, are regulated financial services companies in the US and elsewhere. And what that meant was that before we could launch, we actually had to seek a lot of regulatory approvals. And what that meant, in turn, was that even though it was widely speculated that PayPal was working on a stablecoin for some time, we couldn't actually talk about it to anyone until literally the day before we launched, which is not great from a product launch perspective. Fortunately, the community, all of you, delivered. And within a few hours after launch, you could move your PYUSD from your PayPal wallet to your MetaMask wallet. You could explore transactions using your favorite blockchain explorer. You could embed PYUSD into your existing environments and dApps. Our friends over at YellowCard integrated PYUSD pretty quickly, and they allowed for the movement of funds from a Venmo wallet, for example, to YellowCard in Africa, where the cost of moving money from $100 from Venmo in the United States to Malawi was 40% less than the equivalent operation through traditional payments rails. Fireblocks integrated it for businesses so that businesses that wanted to take advantage of digital asset payments but were waiting for a trusted, well-known, and well-understood financial brand to be able to get on the bandwagon could finally do so. In fact, in the few weeks after launch, over 150 countries had access to PYUSD through dozens and dozens of market participants and exchanges. But of course, Ethereum isn't perfect yet anyway, right? Gas fees can be unpredictable and are known to spike from time to time. The transparency that we love about Ethereum makes it difficult to perform certain kinds of sensitive financial transactions like payroll or business to business, where you don't necessarily want to expose the salaries of all of your team members or your intimate business records to the public internet. And of course, the ease of use that we talked about in terms of being able to bring PYUSD online for us meant that it was easy for scammers to go and create imposter coins or other kinds of fake airdrops that would attempt to separate people from their hard-earned money. And that comes back to all of you, because you are the lifeblood and the power that actually drives innovation, and why we are particularly interested in tracking the EIPs around things like extending account abstraction, around faster times to settlement, and new capabilities that are bringing online in the core the things that we need to extend PYUSD for payments. We're excited by what's going on in the L2 space that allows us to address some of the scalability and performance challenges that I mentioned earlier and bring new kinds of tokens to light. And we're excited in particular about being able to partner with the dApps, the DeFi applications, and also, more importantly for us, the TradFi companies that are really like SAP and EY, that are really set up to create market fit for the entirety of global commerce. And that's one of the reasons why we are committed to and being proud to be part of this environment. We have announced recently that as part of that commitment that we've just launched in conjunction with our friends at Paxos and Layer Zero, a bridge that will allow for the interoperability of PYUSD on Ethereum to Solana. You can get that on Galaxy today. And we think that that is going to extend and further expand the utility and the interoperability of PYUSD for both commerce and DeFi. We're just getting started. So we invite you to join us in going and revolutionizing digital commerce through digital assets and DeFi. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Edwin. We probably have time for 1 to 2 questions right now. Anyone with any question? This is fascinating sharing. In the audience, one gentleman over there. Okay, let's try this. Please catch. Uh-oh.
This is the most entertaining part, is watching.
I know.
You were mentioning like business transactions, payroll, where privacy is important. What's your path? What's your roadmap with PYUSD? Which direction you see, or what you working on to help for that?
Yeah, so we're working with the various protocols, including the folks that are part of the ecosystem, to incorporate more of the privacy-preserving technologies into the substrate of both the core and the application layer of what we're doing. One example of that. I know this is an Ethereum conference. One example of that is that Solana has recently implemented a confidential transfers token extension, which allows for amounts to be masked on chain. And that is actually really important, because that means that although you can still have the transparency of seeing that transactions are occurring, things like amounts and certain other details are encrypted and kept away from prying eyes. So that's an example of the kinds of things that we're working with the rest of the community, and that we invite all of you to help us support as we really try to optimize these protocols for payments.
Great. One last question. Anyone in the audience? One over here.
I was hoping to have to throw the box like into the back.
Yeah, no one raised their hand.
All right.
You mentioned SAP, EY earlier. I couldn't quite get that. Can you maybe speak or elaborate a
sure.
bit more their position and why you think that's interesting?
Yeah, so SAP announced a couple of weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, that PYUSD is now a invoiceable currency in their digital hub. And what that means is that any of the Fortune 1000 companies that are using SAP's ERP system today can, without changing their back end, start to invoice their customers with PYUSD and collect that in through us or Coinbase or other interactions that they may be connected to now. What's really interesting about that is that, you know, when we talk about being able to reach the next billion or two users, habits die hard, and that's especially true in large enterprise. And so the more that we can plug into existing systems and existing ways that CFOs and corporate treasuries and accountants are working today, the more that we can get that in there. And as an example, PayPal is now starting to pay its invoices to companies like EY with PYUSD.
Oh, suddenly we have two over there. But we're actually, okay, let's take one more. The gentleman in the blue shirt. Last one. It's going to be a quick one. Where are our box? It's over there. Yay.
Thank you. If you can rate from 1 to 10 how decentralized the token is.
Well, as a reserve-backed token where there is a single store of value and a trust, and as I said, a trust account that's there, it's, you know, that aspect of it is not decentralized. Obviously, the base level protocols which allow for the movement on chain are, you can move PYUSD into, you know, your own personal wallets, you can use them in DeFi. So on that standpoint, there is decentralization there. But when you get a reserve-backed stablecoin, there's always some component of centralization to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Another round of applause for Edwin.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.